What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited. Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you. And that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we've got plenty to talk about in the NFL. Lots of quarterback changes. We'll get Mike's take on those changes. Then when we turn our attention to baseball, we'll talk about the Cubs and see if they still have Mike's vote of confidence that they're going to make the playoffs. Steph Curry is going to play in the Olympics and has something to say about Kevin Durant's recent comments. And we've got a lot more. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, Eldo? What's happening, my friend? Got things going. Got a brand new mic. Just got here. I was down at ESPN doing some business. ESPN 1000. Got here just in time. Burned up some gas. Burned up some miles. I'm telling you right now, got a new microphone. I'm so happy. I mean, I'm like a pig in you know what.
How are you,
my friend?
How was that drive from downtown Chicago to Arlington Heights?
You know, if I had to do all over again, I would say to myself, Staten Lake. A good opportunity to go to work down there every single day.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it took ESPN forever when we were negotiating. One of the big negotiating points was that I had to do my show from where I live because I had moved.
Right.
And it worked out good, but I'm only working there one day a week plus the encore. But, you know, the rule usually is you got to go down there, but then there's parking to be paid for and all this other stuff. And I figured, hey, since it's only one day, they capitulated. But now I just was down there with the meeting. I'm going back down there tomorrow with Mr. Karma's on. So, I mean, I worked for his dad.
Nice.
Now he's here. So,
how about that, huh?
Yeah, so looking forward to it. We had some fun today with the payroll stuff and everything else. And, you know, I mean, basically, I sat next to Mike Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of other people there that...
Murph!
Yeah, there's a lot of other people there that are younger than us that are worried about this and worried about that. And Murph
sure.
goes, do they know that basically we don't have to worry about this stuff anymore? You always got a little... Murph is so funny. But, you know, it's a good time.
He's great.
Yeah, it's a good time. And, you know, it's good to be with you. And a lot of things happened over the weekend.
It's good to be with you. And I just want to let our new listeners and young listeners know that Mike North on Fridays at 6 p.m. Central on ESPN 1000 here in Chicago does a show with Carmen DeFalco called The Odds Couple. And it is a super entertaining show. And so if you like this show, you'll like that one even better because I just love that show.
Well,
you guys
are
great.
You know what's funny about it is that it's basically the same show. You and Carmen got different styles.
Yeah.
But you guys are both you're more when it comes to sense of humor, you got that boisterous laugh. Carmen's more dry sense of humor, mm-hmm. if you will. So I love working with the four, whether it was Buffon, whether it's you, whether it's Jiggets, whether it's Fred Huebner, whether it's anybody. You know what?
Andy Herman.
Carmen. Oh, yeah, everybody. I mean, he's just worked. I worked with a ton of different people, all different and all very talented.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Like I always said, I was like Hyman Roth. I used to tell Doug, I'm a Hyman Roth. He goes, what do you think? You think we'll work out as the wise guys, little buddy? I go, Doug, I'm like Hyman Roth. All my partners make money. Don't worry about it.
I love it.
Don't worry about it.
I love it. All right. I've got the TV on, and right now we are live on Mixlr.com. And in the top of the ninth inning, it's the St. Louis Cardinals 5, the Washington Nationals 1. It looks like the Cardinals are going to hold on and win their game against the Nats. What are your thoughts about the Chicago Cubs as now they are tied for that second wild card position? I think with this win by the Cardinals, the Cubs will fall 2.5 behind the division leading Cards. What are your is your level of confidence still high that the Chicago Cubs are going to be in the postseason?
I've been with them the whole time. Why jump out now? Now I ran into David Kaplan. I ran into David Kaplan. He said the injuries. He says, Mike, I'm worried. I said, why? He says, because look at Baez, all these guys. We're missing like 200 RBIs. Rizzo, yeah. Baez, I mean, and stuff like that. But you know what? The Yankees have had nothing but injuries. And the Yankees keep on ticking. And I think people would say, even with all the injuries, that they'd be favored. I think the Cubs staff is better than the Yankee staff. I really do. But they're in a different league. I think the American League's weaker this year. I think they got great individual players. But, I mean, I think, you know, the Yankees get a steady diet of Baltimore, Kansas City, the Chicago White Sox. You can go on and on. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's good, but the Yankees are superior. I think the Yankees. And then you got the Dodgers on the other side. But I think the Dodgers can get beat. I don't know about the Yankees. You take 6-7 players from them, they just keep getting stronger.
Right.
They hit the home runs and stuff like that. As far as the Cubs are concerned, they didn't expect these injuries. It's a convenient excuse for people, but there's been other things like the Contreras game in right field, which was a killer. If we lose by one game, and I told everybody this, the Contreras game will be the game that screws us. Because that should have never happened where a catcher that's never played right field was out there. It was a debacle. It was one of the worst games of the season. But there's been other games we had the lead and we gave it up. I still believe in the Cubs. I still think they're going to get it done. But I think they're going to get it done as the wild card.
Mike, I saw a headline saying that Contreras might play first base during Rizzo's absence. That's got to make you even more upset because I don't think Contreras has played first base in the majors anyway.
Joe has to, next year, if he comes back, if they get to the playoffs and he comes back, or whoever takes his place has to have a set lineup.
Yeah.
Johnny Bench didn't play third base till he was done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he couldn't catch anymore. They moved him to third.
Right.
Hank Aaron couldn't play first. Couldn't play right field anymore. They moved him to first. That's the argument. Maybe Contreras can go to first base. But I don't think I've ever seen Molina play first base. I never saw Thurman Munson play first base. I never saw Earl Batty play first base. But why does Wilson Contreras, who couldn't play right, now has to play first base? Maybe.
He's going to play all nine positions by the time the season's over.
The guy's an all-star catcher, and it takes its toll on you when you play this many positions.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
And it's not an easy spot.
I agree with
that. A low throw and he's dead.
Yeah. Here in Chicago, we have two very innovative managers, head coaches, Matt Nagy and Joe Maddon. Very innovative, outside the box thinking and so forth.
Used to be. No, they are.
They still are.
I'm just teasing. Madden's one of my favorite managers of all time in Chicago. I mean, from Al Lopez to Chuck Tanner to Joe Maddon's done a decent job. And if they make the playoffs, anything can happen. I didn't want the one-game playoff, though. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have the deal where we have 7 games, and that could still happen. Look at Milwaukee without Yelich. We're going to cry about injuries? Come on.
Steven Zimmerman.
Zim! I love Zim. I got a new mic, Zim.
He's in the chat room. He says by the time at this rate, Joe Maddon will have you at right field.
I could do a better job than Contreras. I just couldn't catch like him or hit like him.
Yeah, I love it.
That was a nightmare. I'm a guy that goes from game to game.
Uh-huh.
When I remember a game, that was a puke game.
Yeah, right.
If I remember it, it was a badly managed, badly played ball game.
Yeah.
That's why I'm praying. We could have used that game. We were winning. We blew about 4 or 5 leads this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that Joe Maddon, as well as he managed in his inaugural year with the Chicago Cubs. I think the total opposite. I think he's made a lot of managerial mistakes, and I think his, you know, his coddling of the players and not getting on a Baez when Baez falls asleep and he catches the cutoff and doesn't throw home and made other mistakes. I think his coddling of these players, it doesn't lend to a sense of urgency. We need to win. You know, this window with this roster is not going to last forever. So
He made some mistakes when he let off Hayward. Hayward hit 167.
Yeah.
In the leadoff position. When he let off Schwarber, I think the biggest mistake Joe Maddon has made was never solidifying the leadoff position, mm-hmm. never staying with one person. Schwarber, for instance, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. has a monster game, grand slam, has a double, drives in four runs. 3 days later, he's batting him second, and the guy falls on his face or leadoff. Come on.
Right. You know, and the other thing is that this team is just, perhaps Cap mentioned this, this team is just snake bitten with injuries. I mean, did you see the injury?
Yeah, but other people got them, though, Alge.
Yeah, but
you know that.
There's a bunch over the last few weeks.
Well,
right?
It's who gets injured.
Right.
But are we going to cry when Yelich gets hurt? I mean, my God. I mean, you tell me, okay, Baez got hurt. Yelich got hurt. Better ball player.
They've won four in a row, yeah. I think, since that injury.
Better baseball player, yeah, folks, than Javi.
Mm-hmm.
Better all around. He's one of the top three players in the game. Trout's hurt now.
Yeah.
And by the way, I told everybody, Yelich the last 2 years, better ball player than Trout. Tougher league, the way it goes as far as with the competition. Arenado, Trout, Goldschmidt. We can go on and on. Not Trout. When you name the American leaguers that are having big years, there's not that many.
Yeah.
But there's a ton. Like, you know, Bryant's even starting it. That's the shame of it. Mm-hmm. Bryant's starting to pick up the pace now. So I still think we can do it. But it's going to be tight. And you know what? When people say you can't predict injuries, I go, I understand that. But you make your predictions based if a guy does get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think one or two injuries is enough. You lose Baez. Russell gets beaned. Rizzo rolls over his ankle.
But yeah, that was going to be my point. Did you see how he injured his
Bryant.
Ankle?
Same as Bryant. Just rolling it.
He was just reaching for a ball. And
Bryant heard it going from first to second.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, these guys, they've had some freakish
really?
Little injuries. But you know what? Hopefully they'll be back.
I hope so, too, because it would be great to have postseason play baseball.
Well, that was the plan. And if the plan doesn't work out, I don't know what's going to happen.
Right, because it's going to take another year or two for my team, the Chicago White Sox, to get into the postseason. So
Can I give a compliment? Oh, how many people in America know Tim Anderson's a leading hitter in the American League?
How about that? Yes.
And when the batting average, to me, it's still a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give Tim Anderson kudos, hitting .332, .333, leading the American League in hitting. He can't field.
No, I was just going to say, I'd give away 10, 15
of
those points.
He's only got 12 homers and 59 RBIs. The batting average isn't as potent as it used to be, but it's more potent. But to me, it's still, I mean, you get 300, that's 332 hits out of every 1,000. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at the most valuable players for the Chicago White Sox in 2019, the two names that are going to, well, maybe three names, but the two names that immediately came to my mind are Lucas Giolito and Tim Anderson.
The problem is the Sox have one starter.
Mm-hmm.
One reliable starter. Here's another problem. Even with Moncada having a decent year, batting fifth or sixth in the top 10 now, even with Anderson, even with Abreu, they're 20 under because they have no pitching. And if it doesn't change during the offseason, we're going to be right back in this spot.
Yeah. Hart 4803 reminds us that there are seven games that the Cubs have against the Cardinals to end the season with Pittsburgh in between. That's going to be a heck of a final week or so of baseball.
Yeah,
for
losing
the Cubs.
To Cincinnati is not good, though.
Oh,
and I think tonight there's a chance they could lose to Cincinnati.
Ooh, interesting.
I just think that the Cubs right now are depleted.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
There's where depth comes in. Do they have enough depth? No. When you're putting your catcher in right, when you're batting your fat left fielder first, I mean, you know. Schwarby. I love Schwarby.
He's great.
He's the Bambino. He's the Bambino of this generation.
That is a good point.
He hits the crap out of the ball, I'll tell you that.
So you're a little worried about John Lester and his 13-10 record, 4.59 ERA.
Absolutely, I am.
But what about
who's pitching against him? Not Homer Bay.
Tyler Mahle, who is 2-11 with a 5.11 ERA. So that's good news for the Cubbies.
If they can't win tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Lester picked up a win on Friday despite allowing 7 runs.
Can you believe that?
4 of them were earned. So he's still not not anywhere close to pitching his best. He's just had a rocky second half of the season, and it started poorly for him, too, if I remember way back to April. So he's had an uneven year for sure.
Yeah, he has. He's had an uneven year. You know what? You keep expecting him to perk up, but that last start was not good, even though he got the win. His ERA for the National League is very high right now.
Right. And it says here on MLB.com that Tyler Mahle is working his way to try to win a spot in the 2020 rotation, but he is 0-1 with a 6.5 ERA in 3 starts for the Reds since coming up from AAA not too long ago. So my hope is that Lester is going to have a great outing and these Cubs can get back on the winning ways, because they did really well prior to that. They beat the Reds 8-2, and then
they beat up the Pirates.
Oh man, did they ever! 16 runs, 14 runs, 17 runs. Pretty awesome.
But Cincinnati's a better club, they seem to me, than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree.
Pittsburgh collapsed after they had the beanball wars, after Hurdle. I think Hurdle lost that clubhouse. I look at Pittsburgh and I go, do they even want to win?
Yeah.
I think Cincinnati wants to win.
I have to believe that this has to be Clint Hurdle's last season at Pittsburgh.
You know what? I look at Pittsburgh, and they had so much potential. Then they got rid of guys like McCutchen and everything else. They had a few brief years. It's a shame. That ballpark's beautiful. They should fill that park up. They should spend some money over there. Clint Hurdle doesn't have the best players, but the beanball wars turned me off on him.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk.
God, am I good today.
You're
came
always
right out
good.
Of the car. Came right out of the car.
That's true.
I had to make big decisions. Should I take the fork in the road at the Kennedy where you go towards O'Hare?
Yeah.
Or should I go down to the Edens a little bit? Or should I take the fork in the road and get off at Bryn Mawr and take Bryn Mawr down? That's what I did.
Oh.
And then I got back on the Kennedy when it loosened up.
I've never thought about doing that. I got to do
that
because next time.
As you see him jammed up, the Bryn Mawr, you get off at Bryn Mawr.
Right, right.
You're overlooking him, and you're speeding, going 50 miles an hour.
Oh.
And you can do Higgins, too.
Yeah, Higgins I've done
before.
See,
that's because you were born in Humboldt Park area.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You would tell me the best way to get around Sacramento or the Boulevard.
Hey, up until the age I was in my 30s, if you couldn't show me where North Avenue was, I was totally lost.
Where the armory is.
Exactly.
Where the big-ass armory was.
Exactly.
A couple times I tried to get in, there was somebody after me. I don't like
in that neighborhood,
back then, that was not a good road trip neighborhood.
No, not at all.
Everybody stayed territorial.
All right, the White Sox are pitching Ivan Nova tonight because of an injury to, I forgot who was injured, Dylan Covey. And Nova is
I don't know if that's
pitch
a negative or a positive. Yeah. I'd rather have Nova pitch almost.
Well, Nova's only going to pitch one inning.
Oh, God.
One inning. He's going to start the game, pitch one inning so that they can have him for his start later in the week, and then they're going to rely on the bullpen. This is just an awful situation, and they're playing the Twins on top of that. So.
And I had the White Sox on the money line last night. By the way, I didn't do my maybe we'll do a little Periscope afterwards, or we could do the video. I didn't do my what do you call it? The accountability.
Oh, there. Okay. Yeah,
so
we could do that.
Yeah, we could do that here.
Sure.
Well, we're going to be busy. I'm going to be here till 7 o'clock tonight.
You might.
We got commercials.
Tons of commercials to do tonight.
Should I read one on the air just for fun to show people what we do?
Absolutely.
Give me one of those commercials.
Where's the script? Hold on.
Give me a script.
Where did I put
mine? Now, what the good people do at Vegas Scores and Odds, and I've been on
Dan.
Yeah, I've heard. Doesn't matter. There's 100 of them. What do you think I am, Olivier? I got a mat. All I'm telling you, the folks at Vegas Scores and Odds have been buying ESPN, Westwood One, Premier. Okay.
And ESPN, so, right? Oh, you mentioned ESPN.
Here's what we do. I count down. They usually give me 39 or 40 seconds, and I'm supposed to take a minute. Then Aldo puts in music and explosions. And I've heard from Dan Beyer, Jonas Knox, Andy Furman. I've heard from people, they love the commercials, okay, that are played all over the country. Okay, here we go. You don't have to record this. We'll just read this.
Sure.
Just to give the people an example.
Okay.
5, 4, Three, two, one. Hey, sports fans, this is world champion handicapper Mike North with your Las Vegas Monday Night Report. Documented 8-2, weeks 1-2, that's 80% winners. And tonight I'm releasing Chicago, Washington. Huge information against the spread, and it's yours free on the recorded message line. Call 1-800-244-0710. Chicago, Washington, absolutely free side and total on the recorded message line. Call now, 1-800-244-0710. Monday night under the lights, Mike North has you covered. Call 1-800-244-0710. Chicago, Washington is a monster. I love the game. I love it. I love it. It's so huge. I can't believe it. 2-0 Monday night. Call now on the free recorded message line, 1-800-244-0710. Go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com. And I was reading that.
Wow.
And while I was reading that, I spilled my pop. And I never lost a beat. Give me this. There goes my phone. There goes my phone.
Oh, no.
That's okay. I dried it off. They say put it in rice. I put it in rice for 3 days once. I couldn't find it. They go, where is it? Okay. Sorry, Aldo.
Oh.
We're doing cleanup here. It's like, you know what? You ever spill a cup of a large Starbucks? It looks like an oil spill. The same thing happens with Pepsi, and there's still some left.
I'm telling you, he gets into these commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it's like 35 seconds worth of copy. He's got to fill 60 seconds. So he starts ad-libbing, and he starts doing, you know, all these great things.
I might
things
go, uh-huh, 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 like the Super Bowl part.
Yep, his Diet Pepsi harp is not
all over the place. I got it.
I love it. I love it. All right. You good there? Oh, good.
Yeah.
I can get you another Diet Pepsi.
I'm good.
Let's, so what, before we
before I went off on a tangent, spilled my pop and read a commercial for
exactly,
nothing. Yeah. Took the show off a cliff somewhere. Is that what you're talking
exactly.
About? That's right. That's why it's a great show. We don't have nothing scripted. Let's see. Now we're going to talk about all the AL East. Let's go.
Not even the commercials are fully scripted.
No. Are you kidding me?
All right. So what do you think about this whole Ivan Nova pitching just one inning? Shouldn't they have called up somebody from the minors
yep.
or something? I don't get it. Maybe Hart 4803.
Rick Renteria, can I tell you something?
Sure.
He's gone. He should be gone.
Oh, really?
I think he should be gone. The second half, they didn't get better. They didn't. They haven't been better, and they've had some issues. People have questioned his lineups. I mean, if you and I think a new manager might put some sock into this, or are they not ready yet? And this would be year four, and they were supposed to be ready by 2020. They're not ready, like I predicted the people, because their pitching staff is anemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Giolito, he's our only reliable one. He better be reliable next year, too.
Really? Well, and that whole thing with the lineup is disturbing, because he's been making some moves that just from an analytics standpoint, just
He moves Anderson around.
Yeah, he moves him around, and we got guys who are not good leadoff hitters hitting leadoff, and you got guys who, it's a mess.
Rick Renteria is cheap. He's an interim manager that was given a full-time manager's job. At least he was an interim manager at one point and not mowing somebody's lawn like Robin Ventura.
Kevin, who loves the White Sox, says that he agrees with you, Mike, but he thinks that the entire coaching staff is to blame.
I'm not a Daryl Boston guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a Joe McEwing guy.
Cooper, the pitching coach who's been there since the
40s. Well, that's because, allegedly back in the day, people said he was a spy.
Oh, really?
In the dugout. That's why he's lasted so long.
I did not know.
And I don't know if Don is or not. I like Don Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the score, Don's a good guy. But there have been people that said that he was the guy in the dugout through all the years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And guess what? And then he gets, then it goes upstairs if anything odd goes on.
Oh, man.
He must have missed the sales situation to Chris Sale where he cut up all the jerseys.
That's right.
Where Robin Ventura hit like a little girl.
All right, let me stick with Chicago before we start talking other NFL teams because we're going to move on to football. Matt Nagy met the media yesterday, and they were peppering him with questions about the offense and expectations. And this is what Matt said regarding his expectations for the Chicago Bears offense.
Our own expectations is not to be 31st in the NFL in offense right now, I can tell you that. So, and that comes down to scoring, right? Now, the good thing about that is that we won a game. And at the end, we try to pull all the positives the way we won with our offense, coming back and doing what we did there. That's great. But we know we need to be better. So as the season goes on, we just really feel like, and we have amount of trust in ourselves that we as coaches and we as offense, we'll get going here. And we feel really good that when we do get this thing going, It's going to be a lot of fun.
Stop it, please. Stop it. Stop it. You know what I told Carmen? Because last week I took the bear. I mean, Denver, if you remember.
Yeah.
I took Denver on the odds couple. And I said to Carmen, we're either going to win 16-14 or 48-46. Mm-hmm. And I hit the score right 16-14. And Carmen, I guess, is going to play it Friday. It's on the podcast. But he goes, I can't believe you hit the score. But you know, I gave two scores. But I figured, I never thought it would end up where the Bears would win the game and Denver would cover the spread.
Yeah.
And I got lucky there because really at the last, I can't explain what happened at the end of the game.
It was crazy.
Timeout.
A weird penalty call on the Broncos for roughing Mitch
Trubisky. By the way, not Tim Floyd, boy. That would be. Leonard Floyd got screwed and so did the guy from Denver.
Yeah.
That was not roughing on Trubisky. Yeah. We got bailed out big time. And so did they. Mm-hmm. I mean, the refereeing is horrendous in the National Football League.
Yeah. We got comments in the chat room saying that the Bears' offensive line looked like a Chinese fire drill at times. And Nagy said in his press conference that he was actually pleased with their offensive line's pass blocking, but it was the run blocking where there was poor communication and they could have had many more yards with their rushing attack if they were to communicate.
Well, since, you know what, when you throw 10-yard passes, you don't need to pass block for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So Nagy's full of crap. They threw seven passes.
That's right.
They threw seven passes of, eight passes of over 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of eight. Guess which one? The one he needed at the end.
Yeah, which is good, but the rest of that is
here's what I will tell you.
Troubling.
Throw 25-yard passes and let's see how good your offensive line is protecting the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. ESPN is doing a new feature now on their website where they talk about particular quarterbacks and players that they're most concerned with. And this week they announced that Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback that they were most concerned with because of statistics like that. He's just not throwing the ball downfield.
He's doing what John Fox did, Nagy. What's mm-hmm. the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
What is the difference? Because I'm going to tell you something. I saw Mahomes. Let's just say it right now. And then it was a mistake. I mean, Pace made a mistake, a huge mistake. I didn't want Mahomes. I wanted Watson. He had two quarterbacks better than our quarterback, and he moved up to get our quarterback. That is a flaw, to not recognize, to be in love with one guy so much and not to recognize the talents of the other two guys.
Yeah.
Period.
I'm with you there. And when you think about Ryan Pace's history with quarterbacks in Chicago, it's not good. He decided to stick with Jay Cutler for his first year. Then he signs Mike Glennon to a $16 million guaranteed contract. I was so upset about that. I'm thinking to myself, you know, Pace is talking about the importance of the quarterback position, and then that's the guy they signed? But lo and behold, it was an act because they wanted people to think that they weren't going to draft the quarterback with their...
Well, if Glennon would have been any good, or if he had escapability, or if the Bears would have been any good, maybe they don't. But they, you know what? It didn't work out. They drafted the wrong guy. But he's our guy, and we got to stick with him. But, I mean, he's missing wide-open receivers. They're playing it safe with him. They're afraid to step out on him. They're managing the football game. And my barometer is, when your first-string quarterback goes down, how much of a division or how much of a drop is there? For instance, Drew Brees goes down. Big drop to Teddy Bridgewater. I don't care what anybody says. Drew Brees, Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. When Big Ben, and you were right, Big Ben's out for the year with the elbow. When he goes down, Mason Rudolph may be all that, but there's a big drop compared to just because of what he's done. But Eli Manning with the new quarterback coming in, not a big drop.
I don't think so either.
And Mitch Trubisky and Chase Daniels. Mm-hmm. If Mitch Trubisky went down next week and they go, coming in as Chase Daniels, we go, okay, let's see if he could get it done. Yeah. It's not a big drop.
Right. It's a really good point. And we're going to talk more about those quarterback changes briefly, but Rudy up in Wisconsin.
Rudy. You're 5 foot nothing. You're 100 and nothing. Charlie Dutton, one of my favorites.
He's a great actor.
I love Charlie Dutton.
Very good actor.
He should have gotten the roles to Cop and Die Hard, but the other guy did. It's somewhat like Charlie Dutton.
Right.
I like him too.
Yeah, he's a good actor too.
You're 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing.
Great line. You got a good good memory for movie lines.
Oh, I love that guy.
Rudy, who lives up in Wisconsin,
surrounded
by Packer fans, he says, out of
curiosity. Rudy Kuchenberg? I used to love Rudy Kuchenberg.
He says, out of curiosity, why isn't anyone talking about the wide receiver coaches as to why the receivers aren't getting open? Well, I gotta disagree with that a bit. Yes, the wide receivers can do a better job, but according to Next Gen Stats on ESPN, they're saying that the wide receivers are regularly getting open.
Yes,
and Trubisky is missing them.
Yes.
Now Nagy did fire back a little bit regarding that. He said that on one pass, Allen Robinson, the team's best receiver, did run a route incorrectly, and Mitch Trubisky missed them. And he said that wasn't Mitch's fault. That was Allen's fault. But for the most part, these guys are getting open.
They're getting open. They showed them the first week. There was guys waving their hands.
Yeah, Allen Robinson and that
right.
one player.
They were all waving their hands. I mean, Taylor Gabriel hasn't. But you know what? Everybody needs to do better. The defense is good enough to hold up. If we had a serviceable quarterback, just think if we have one of these other guys, like even Mahomes or anybody else, even some of the guys that are on the team now. You know what? If they win, though, that's all that counts. If we would have lost this game, it'd be a different show.
Yeah.
We said that Monday.
I'm totally with you. Rudy says that he's 6'4", 290 pounds.
Who is Rudy?
Yes.
Holy Christ.
He kicked that other Rudy's ass.
Yeah, and nobody would be picking you up on their shoulders. I got news for you. The only people to pick you up off the shoulders are the people that own the bakery you go to. I'm kidding, Rudy. Rudy's 6'4". That's a big man.
That's a big man.
The height and the weight, okay, maybe 260. Well, maybe he indulges in donuts. I don't know.
I think with the way the offensive line's playing, Rudy should show up to Alice Law tomorrow.
They're trying to pick up Rudy, and they can't.
Let's see. Stacy's with us. She says, it's too soon, but when do you think the defense will get pissed if Nagy doesn't figure the offense out? That's a great question, because I've been thinking about that too. There's going to come a time, if this offense continues to sputter,
if they lose,
that the defense is, yes, exactly,
they're not mad this week because they won,
right?
If they lose this week, they're starting to get, maybe, what the hell's going on, you know? What's going on with this guy? Why do I only get it done? That happens everywhere, and it happens on teams that have, you don't think Dan Fouts ever said, why do I have to throw 7 touchdown passes and still lose 55-49? So it goes both ways.
I'm totally with you. I started to sense a little bit of discontent from the defense regarding this offense, because everyone went into this season thinking this is our Super Bowl year. Khalil Mack talked about how Charles Woodson would tell him, and when he was an Oakland Raider, would tell him, we don't have much time. Our careers don't last a long time. We got to win now, boys.
That's why I'm wondering. I mean, why you got a defense that's good enough to win your division and maybe go to the Super Bowl, you get yourself a better quarterback, because you seem to have everything else. I still miss Jordan Howard. I'm sorry. I love their running game, though. They totaled up running back by committee. Worked.
Yeah.
How many yards did we gain? About 130 or something?
Yeah. No, it was a little more than that.
It's like we never, and I can't believe we, didn't it seem to you like we didn't run for that much?
Exactly. Exactly.
But if you're used to a runner like Sayers or Payton, you know they'd be the focus. The Bears got like 3-4 guys.
Yeah. The deal was is that run by Cordarrelle Patterson, which I think was a 40-plus yarder, kind of made it look like the running game wasn't operating as well as
it
should.
They must have said, boy, he's too fast. Let's get him off the field. Man, the guy hardly gets the ball. Hey, get him off. He's making the other guys look bad. Why'd we pick it? How much money we spend on this kid from,
Cordarrelle Patterson? Yeah, I think he's a $5 million a
is
year.
Is it Cordell?
Cordarrelle, I think.
You know what? That's another thing. I always called him Cordell. Then I hear the guy go Cordarrelle. I don't know what to make of it.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Let's see. 153 yards rushing on
that's pretty
29
good.
Attempts.
That's awesome.
So,
But it didn't seem that way to me. And usually, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
They almost lost that game. When you run for 153 yards, you're not supposed to almost lose.
Yeah.
You're supposed to win. Yes. Running away. But that passing game sort of hurt him.
Yeah.
The thing I give Mitch credit, though, although he didn't throw interceptions. He doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah. He's careful.
Well, it seems
it's
like
it's hard to turn the ball over, but don't get me wrong. I mean, he doesn't fumble. I still think he doesn't. There's some times I think he should run more, but he doesn't want to run. He's in flux right now. We'll see what happens. He's got Washington this week. They don't give up. I've watched both their games. They don't give up.
I'll tell you one thing about his passing. It seems like in every game he throws a ball right to the defense and they drop it. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
but yeah, sometimes I don't know. This has got to be cleared up. I got to ask you this question. So if the New York Giants say, hey, you know, Mitch Trubisky had another bad game, this one on Monday night against the Redskins, Eli Manning isn't doing anything for us. You want him for a fifth round draft pick? What would you say if you're Ryan Pace? Eli Manning to the Chicago Bears?
No,
huh?
No way. Eli Manning to me, he's 116 and 116. And everybody, I heard people today talking about it. Is he a Hall of Famer? Tells you how lazy some people are. They're talking about that crap all day. You know, maybe he is, and maybe because he's got two Super Bowls. But I will tell you this: he's got no escapability. He still had a decent game, but he threw an interception. He still throws interceptions. And while you can't blame him for all the losses, he's been involved. He's had 3-4 interception days. I watched him the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
He's not the same quarterback he was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
That is.
But they don't have the same around of good, you know, Plaxico Burress. You had OBJ, you know, so there's some different. He doesn't have the same players around him either.
That's for sure. I mean, that team.
I'm glad they're starting a kid.
Yeah, I'm glad too, but
what did they want him to do? Oh, then you shouldn't have brought him back. Wait a minute. He's a good teammate. He's not complaining. He's not crying about it, and he'll help this kid. And guess what? I think Eli Manning will play again. But this kid's 29 for 34 in the preseason with 2 TDs, hard to turn down.
Yeah. He did look really, really good in the preseason. And I got to tell you.
You mean the one Mitch didn't throw passing?
That preseason, yes.
I trade Mitch for that New York Giant rookie so fast, his head would spin. Anybody want to doubt me on it? Would you take that guy?
I would.
In a heartbeat. They were laughing at him. I watched him. He was playing. Wait. They go, well, he's not playing the best defenses. I go, did you see the receivers he was throwing to?
Yes, exactly.
The quarterbacks play with second and third, fourth stringers too.
Exactly.
In preseason. And this guy was making them look like Bob Hayes.
Exactly. With a faulty offensive line, you're absolutely right. By the way, people in the chat room are emphatically saying no to Eli Manning to
absolutely,
Chicago Bears.
Aldo.
So they're with
Thank
you on
you,
that.
Bears barroom patrons.
This was Daniel Jones talking about Peyton Manning and his support.
As y'all would expect, as anyone who knows Eli would expect, he was
Eli Manning, sorry.
Yeah, nice call.
As y'all would expect, as anyone who knows Eli would expect, he was you know, nothing but supportive of me, and obviously, you know, I understand the circumstance, and it's you know, a difficult one, but he's you know, was very supportive of me, and you know, I can't say enough about who he is, you know, as a person, as a teammate.
Right, that's enough, please.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. He is boring,
he's
man.
He's a class act, Eli Manning. Everybody knows it. He'll back the kid. He's not a Jay Cutler type. He's a team player. He won't be a mope on the bench. He'll help the kid. I mean, I remember Eric Kramer saying he wasn't going to help one of the quarterbacks on the Bears. Mm-hmm. That's why you keep a guy like Eli Manning. He's making $17 million, and the Giants don't have a problem with it, so we shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you.
Give the new kid a shot. They didn't think it'd be this bad. He must be missing players. Look, Eli Manning, I love the kid out of Mississippi. I loved him. Mm-hmm. He went to the school his dad did. He made Mississippi a winner. I loved him. And then he won the 2 Super Bowls. I loved him. But enough's enough now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right. I wanted to also cover the other quarterback situation. There's a couple of other quarterback situations,
sure.
But it's a
good thing they saved these guys for the regular season, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they don't play in during the preseason.
Thank
so they're
you,
healthy.
Mike.
So they're healthy for 2 days.
Thank you, Mike.
For Christ's sake.
Exactly. Drew Brees is out for perhaps 6 weeks. There's some
Hitting
speculation.
His hand off the helmet?
Yeah, his thumb. It Who was that it? The big guy,
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald of the Rams.
Aaron Donald was coming on.
Right. And so here is Brandon Marshall. Remember Brandon Marshall used to be with the Chicago Bears?
Is it the guy from the Bears or the other guy?
No, it's the guy from the Bears. All of a sudden, he hates Jay Cutler, but that's a different story. I told you that.
Yeah. They argued at halftime he hated his guts.
Yeah. Well, he was very supportive of Jay when they played together, but lately, now, he is saying Jay Cutler.
They had a fight at halftime almost, I heard, though.
Yes.
And he got on top of a table and everything.
Yes, so that was the beginning of the end.
That was the beginning of the end for that malcontent, which is what he is. But hey, they're both, they're, to me, I don't want either one of them. I'm glad they're both gone.
I hear you on that. So Brandon is talking about Teddy Bridgewater and him being a good quarterback, and that people shouldn't think that the Saints are an automatic loser with Bridgewater at quarterback. So this is what Brandon said.
I was there. I had a cup of tea in New Orleans last year. I spent the entire month on the scout team. So I'm gonna tell you what Teddy Bridgewater is. Teddy Bridgewater is a healthy, and he's a healthy Chad Pennington. Here's Chad Pennington. It's timing. Be where you're supposed to be.
I'm not sure that is a great endorsement
it's
of
not
Teddy
bad.
Bridgewater. But yeah, you're right. It's what he's basically saying.
He sounds like Carter. He sounds like Chris Carter, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, he does, right? A little.
I say that he's right.
Mm-hmm.
I like Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. I think Teddy Bridgewater did okay in Minnesota. You know, I think Teddy Bridgewater now, but there's a drop. Are you telling me New Orleans fans are feeling good today? You lost Drew Brees, man. Think about the Bears losing Peyton, if that ever happened. That'd be the same deal. Yeah, franchise player.
I'm with you on that. Now, there's the other kid. What's his name?
What team?
With the Saints. The third string quarterback who's been playing wide receiver for the Saints. He's been playing all over the place.
White boy.
Yeah, Taysom.
Number seven.
What's his name? Taysom Hill. So,
or as I call him, the white guy.
The white guy, exactly.
That's it. The third string white guy.
This is
what did he say? Black guys help the white guys from Stripe.
Right.
John Candy.
Because the big news today is that Sean Payton, the coach of the Saints, is saying, I'm not naming the quarterback. You're going to see who's going to play on Sunday.
Teddy Bridgewater deserves it.
I think so, too. But I think that what's going to happen is that we're going to see both quarterbacks in there. And so Phil Sims on NBC said this about Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill had turned the corner this preseason from being just an athlete to a guy who knows how to play quarterback. And I do see a lot of Steve Young in him. He's physically gifted and brings an element to that offense that's special. And I just think it's only a matter of time here why Breeze is out before Taysom Hill is the starting quarterback.
So, Mike,
is that Chris Sims?
That's
Phil?
Chris Sims. I'm sorry.
Chris Sims, the Lucky Sperm Club kid.
That's him.
Your dad wouldn't even say the Redskins' name on the air. They should have fired him right there. And now we got to put up with another Sims and another Collinsworth who looks exactly like his dad.
Yeah, so
and he
true.
Talks like him. It's like he's a Chris Collinsworth. It's his son, but my God. It's not like they're twins.
Well, Mr. Sims is apparently a fan of Hill, and with Peyton not announcing who's going to play and probably both quarterbacks, how tough is that for a professional gambler, a world champion gambler like yourself, to pick a game like that? You don't know who's the quarterback.
That's you'll find out by Friday. You just can't make an early prediction on that game, but you'll find out. You'll find out who's pitching the ball, and we'll see what happens. But you know what? Usually there's other games better than that. You try to stay away from second-string quarterbacks if you can.
Now, I did a little research here.
Data boy, you've been doing your homework lately.
And I know you don't like trends, but the total has gone under in seven of the last road games for the Saints. It's the Saints at Seattle. Oof. So I'm just saying.
Seattle's playing good football, too. Russell Wilson's so good.
Oh, you love him.
I love him.
You have loved
They've
him.
They've lost everybody, and they win still. I you know, where's Cam Chancellor? Where's Sherman? Where's Marshawn Lynch? And all I see is that this nobody else. I don't know anybody else. And who's running around number three getting it done?
There you go.
Beating Pittsburgh.
There you go. And so what makes that stat very interesting is that, conversely, the total has gone over in five of the Seahawks' last six games. So the
Something's got to give.
Yeah, exactly. Something's got to give, and I think that makes this game a really, really tough game to lay some money on. I don't know about you.
And you know what? The defense without Breeze will be worse.
Yes.
Because they'll be on the field more.
Yes, totally with you on that.
It's sort of like what happens to the Bears.
Right.
They're on the field a ton. They're worn out. I saw the Washington Redskins game this past weekend. They wore them out. Zeke Elliott just wore them down. Mm-hmm. They kept running and pounding. And by the fourth quarter, they're going, all right, go ahead. Just run through the line. I'll be over here. I mean, they're exhausted. I guess that's just the way it is.
It's a good point. And the other thing that worries me about that game is that if Bridgewater is, like Brandon Marshall says, a timing quarterback, and this week he is sharing snaps with Taysom Hill, then that's not going to help his timing. It's not like he's seen tons of playing time.
They'll bring Taysom Hill. They'll play him 8-9 snaps if at the most. And timing has got to be accumulated too with him because he's got a whole group of different receivers and he hasn't played with the first string.
Yep.
So, you know, the timing's going to come this week in practice and in the game.
I'm with you there. That's going to be a fascinating game to keep an eye on, especially for you professional gamblers.
Ooh.
All right. What else do I got here? Oh, let me see. I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation with the Carolina Panthers. Now it looks like Cam Newton is not going to play.
He didn't show up to practice.
He did not. Yeah, that's right.
Didn't show up to the facility.
That's right. He was not there today.
Well, because you're hurt, you don't go?
I don't know if it was an excuse
or
absence.
Or was he out shopping for babushkas?
He is quite the dresser.
What happened to him? They showed him his Heisman Trophy winning year. Nice suit.
Yes.
Handsome looking dude, yeah, and everything.
He's got movie star good looks. Yeah,
yeah, right? They showed him, and then they showed him just the other day with the babushka with the round glasses. My God, all he's missing, you know what I mean? All he's missing is a purse and a shopping cart.
Some of these athletes really, really go out of their way to make fashion statements.
How can
statements?
I make myself look bad?
That's right. Well, apparently Kyle Allen is probably going to play this week in place of Cam Newton, who has an ankle issue. And frankly, Newton hasn't been playing bad, but Newton has been playing poorly. Oh, yeah. And so
Newton's not playing, is he? No.
I'm sorry, who?
He's not. Cam Newton's not going to play.
It looks like he's not, correct. So Kyle Allen, I just wanted to talk a little bit about him because here's a guy who...
What's his name?
Kyle Allen.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This might be the first time where there's like dead air on... Go ahead.
Well, apparently Jordan Palmer, who is a professional quarterback guru, he works with these guys who are preparing for the draft and so forth. Yeah. He says...
They got that guy on ESPN that does the same thing.
Yeah.
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 How'd you do with Manziel? How'd that work for you? He had him in the water up to his knees throwing footballs. How'd that work for you? And then they sign you to a deal at ESPN. Wow.
He is saying don't overlook this Kyle Allen kid because he has perhaps the strongest arm. And he compared Kyle Allen to Deshaun Watson and said he will play
Deshaun Watson's face. The guy's a damn national champion. The guy's got a chance to be MVP. Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. If Mason Rudolph and Kyle Allen and all these guys are supposed to be so damn great, why are they rotting on the bench until somebody gets hurt?
Yeah, how about that? It's very,
I mean, they
very
talk
true.
More glowingly about the second string guy than they do the first. Here's what I'm going to tell you. And Cam Newton, though, to be honest with you, hasn't played worth a damn. Yep. He hasn't played worth a damn.
He looks really bad. And I want to get into
I
that
think he's got to look in the mirror and make some changes.
All right. I was going to save this for later in the show, but since we've been on this topic. Do you know Paul Feinbaum is a
good-looking man?
Yeah.
No, Paul's a good... Paul, I listen to him for 5 minutes, and I go, how'd this happen? And then I go, people say the same thing about me, so let's keep moving. Let's keep moving, Paul.
Well, he was on Greenberg's ESPN show.
What's the name of it? Get Up? See, I watch. Go look at where
you're doing. I know you do.
We cover both bases.
Right. So, and by the way, you and I talked about Get Up when we first started working together. And we
is
both
it better now?
We both agreed that it needed work. And yes, it is much better
good.
Now.
Good.
It is much better.
I love
better.
Greeny.
He's a great guy. And so... Feinbaum was talking about Eli Manning, and this is, let me see, I hope I get
this
correct.
Well, he would know him, he was in the SEC.
That's right.
That's right.
So this is what he said about Eli Manning.
The Giants blew it a couple of years ago. They probably should have gotten rid of him then, but they held on, and Eli took a beating, but he still has shown the epitome of class. Terry Bradshaw said yesterday, had it been me, I would have packed my bags and walked away, but he didn't. And I think that's why you have to admire Eli Manning and the way he has handled this unbelievable end of his career.
Now,
I agree.
I agree with that. That's hard to argue.
And I disagree with what Terry Bradshaw's. Look, you play your contract out, and I would have packed my bags and left.
Yeah.
I think that was
a little full of yourself. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then they start talking about Cam Newton, and this is what Feinbaum says about Cam Newton.
I think he's a train wreck right now. Mm-hmm. He can't do what he used to do. And quite frankly, forget the sympathy tour. Cam Newton has never really cared about anyone other than Cam Newton. And that doesn't mean he shouldn't be given the opportunity. But he's brought this franchise down. It's over for Cam Newton. Nice knowing you, but you're done.
You know what? That's some strong words, man. Very and I agree words. With him on that, too. You know who Cam Newton reminded me of last week?
Mm-hmm.
RG3.
Oh, yeah.
He reminded me of RG3.
Mm-hmm.
Can't throw the ball like he used to.
Right.
Gets hurt. Has never been able to escape the injury bug. Got lucky the 1 year. The guy was great.
RG3 had a great rookie season.
Yeah, and that was it. Cam Newton had a good couple years, but that was it.
An MVP season at once, but he hasn't been the same player.
So I agree with Feinbaum on both.
Okay, so here's what happens. This was really interesting. So there's a couple of African-American commentators on the dais, and so Ryan Clark, who played with the Steelers.
I like Ryan Clark.
He's an excellent commentator. He had a problem with what Feinbaum said because he thought Feinbaum was being unfair to Cam Newton, and this is what he said.
We just spoke glowingly about Paul glowingly about Eli Manning, and he has been a dud for the last 4 years. We got to stop treating dudes like because they play a certain way or because they act a certain way that's not familiar to us, that's not leadership, that's not caring.
What do you think about that?
Well, he didn't listen to what Paul Feinbaum said. He said he would have gotten rid of Eli Manning 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Clark didn't listen to the comment.
Right.
So when he says he's got class, Paul Feinbaum said he lost it 2 years ago, and he said he was a class act with the way that he's handled things. Ryan Clark, in my opinion, has no gripe. Maybe he's going to bat for, Cam Newton, but in what way? I mean, you heard Paul Feinbaum say Eli Manning should have been shipped out 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is that glowingly? Now, and he meant that he should have been shipped out because he's not getting the job done.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Bradshaw meant it like I would have left 2 years ago. Right. Like it's not Eli's fault.
Right.
If anything, Ryan Clark got more of a beef with Bradshaw than he does with Paul Feinbaum.
I think that what Ryan Clark was hinting at
was because he's black?
Yes. He thought that Feinbaum was overlooking the cultural differences between the players, and Feinbaum was commenting on Cam Newton's style of leadership, and which Ryan Clark
when
is apparently fine.
When did he do that, though? He just said he couldn't.
Well, I did heavily edit this. This was a 5 minute.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
See?
So this was a 5 minute.
I didn't hear that.
Segment.
So in that way, I'll give him credit. But Eli Manning's got 2 Super Bowls. That's basically it. So Ryan Clark can say whatever he wants.
Right.
Whatever he wants. And I disagree with Ryan Clark.
Yeah.
And you know what? Eli Manning, they did give him too long, and that's what the guy said. And when you bring somebody 2 Super Bowls, it's harder. Believe me what I tell you this. If Cutler would have won a Super Bowl or 2, he'd still be the Bears quarterback, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
And
if he was bad, and if he sucked, we'd still be saying, hey,
yes,
let's hold on.
Absolutely.
I think the Giants, I know what Ryan Clark's alluding to, but you know what? I could say the same thing. Everybody kissed Antonio Brown's ass and buried Ben Roethlisberger. That could have been racialed the other way, Ryan.
Absolutely. And one thing about Jay Cutler is that.
And then, by the way, we found out Antonio Brown is one giant tool.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I want Ryan Clark on that. Which way are we going there?
Well, I haven't
heard.
You
want to talk about cultural differences? How about Ben Roethlisberger's been a stud, but everybody pounded him and gave this malcontent, kissed his ass, Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know.
If we want to play the race card, we'll go all day long.
I don't know. I don't know if Ryan Clark has defended Antonio Brown, so we shouldn't go there because
people have.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. But and those people are going to be proven wrong because there's more evidence.
If we're gonna play that game, we could play it all night long.
Sure.
Because I heard nothing but angst against Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. He ruined their season last year. He's ruining it this year. Mm-hmm. He ruined Oakland's. He took down two teams.
Hart4803 in the chat room says, Feinbaum is old school. He goes by behavior and actions, like, I agree not with race.
I agree with him. I think if that's what Ryan Clark meant, he's out of line.
Okay, excellent. I wanted to get your take on that. This has been the fastest hour, I think, that
we've ever done.
Well, we're not done. We got to get your picks.
Oh.
So let me play some music, get you organized there to give us some picks, and then...
Yes! Last week, and by the way, there'll be Accountability Wednesday after the show.
Yes, we'll put that up on
Twitter.
Eldo's
going to do me a favor. I had no time today. I couldn't do it, but we'll do it. Last week, 1-2. Thank God. We're 3-3, though. It's a different year because we're picking the games on Wednesday. Last year, we picked them on Friday. But don't forget this, too. We're picking baseball. We're picking football. We're doing it all. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to go 1-2, 2-1 now, 2-1 the first week. On the odds couple, I was 4-0 the first week, 1-2 the second week. So far, Vegas scores and odds back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd win three games here, then lose two games. Lose two games here, win three for the weekend. So we're doing very, very well on all our platforms. 5-2 with the odds couple. Carmen is 2-0-2 with one push. No, I'm sorry. I got Carmen wrong. He'll kill me. I'll let Carmen take care of himself.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Before you give your picks, should we tell people to go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com?
It's about time you brought this up.
I know.
Because Vegas
59 minutes into the show.
Well, I can't believe it's gone this fast.
I can't believe it
let
either.
Let me just say this about Vegas Scores and Odds. Well, we're going to be on about 10 more minutes. So.
Oh, sure.
Vegas Scores and Odds is the number one site going. We got Tony Sacco, we got Hollywood, we got some great, great handicappers. Like I said, I've had a mixed bag this week. I had good, an average Saturday, very good Sunday, a lousy Monday. I had the Jets over. I had the Jets over. It didn't work out for me. That's the way it's been. It's been a little bit tougher sledding. With the odds couple, like I said, I'm 5-2, so I got a little base going there. So we're going to have some fun. And I'll tell you what, Vegas Scores and Odds is the place to go. They got the free contest line. Not contest line, the free call-in line.
Right.
Just go to the front page. Give us that number, Aldo.
1-866-504-2201. It's free winners daily. It's a recorded message. Dial again, 1-866-504-2201.
Yeah, and when you talk about Vegas Scores and Odds, you're talking about we have like 10, 12 handicappers that are outstanding. If one guy's down, go with another guy. Name me the top four guys on the top left there, Aldo.
Let's see, All Sports?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Tony Sacco, Hollywood, Odds Father, and Vegas Pipeline.
That's awesome. Yeah. We got a bunch of guys up there that do a great job for Vegas Scores and Odds. And if you check Twitter, today alone, I put three or four different Vegas Scores and Odds picks. I got picks up there right now. Go buy packages. You can buy packages for individual games. You can buy packages for the week. You can buy packages for the month. Or you can buy packages for the year. That's Vegas Scores and Odds, the site of champions.
And Mike, you got to be thrilled that NHL season is starting because you are the leader at Vegas Scores and Odds with your record on NHL games. Congratulations on that. Very nice.
You know what? Oh, I've been in the top four in other things, but the last week and a half, it's been a mixed bag. And with these guys, you can't have an off week because these guys will jump on you, just like I've jumped on them. And so they're doing very, very good. And you know what? It's a team sport, and anything that goes to Vegas Scores and Odds is good for us.
Excellent. All right, let's get those freebies out of the way.
All right, Friday, free show picks, NCAA football, Louisiana Tech under on Friday, USC getting 4. On Friday. And here's a big one. The Philadelphia Eagles -7 against the Detroit Lions.
All right.
So
let me have those
Louisiana
three again.
Tech under.
Okay.
USC as getting 4. And Sunday's NFL the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I love that USC game. I love that rookie, that freshman quarterback that's playing. I forgot his name, but seen him play two of the three games he's played this season. And he
the
is
freshman quarterback from
with USC, Eldonis, you know, whatever.
Well, Costello got hurt.
Yeah,
they had a guy get hurt, but you know what? They're 4-point dogs in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And if Vegas scores and odds, go and check out all the other things. But for the show, this is a big, big game. Take USC.
All right, Mike. We are now officially past the hour mark. I want to just finish up by asking you, have you seen anything on the movie channel, anything on television that you want to recommend? Because one of the things we do on this show is sometimes mm-hmm. we step outside
yeah.
The boundaries of sports a little bit and talk a little bit about another passion of ours is movies and television. Oh, I just wanted to get your
check out Motown Special on Showtime.
Motown Special. Is this
Hitsville, USA, the Motown Special
yeah.
on Showtime. From Berry Gordy, from when they started.
Yeah.
It's a 2-hour documentary. It's unbelievable. Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Stevie Wonder,
love
the
it.
Four Tops.
Yes.
The Four Tops talking with the Temptations about the competition between the two. Levi Stubb, the lead singer of the Four Tops, as good as he got. And you know, David Ruffin from the Temptations. The Inner Workings, the Charm School they sent all the people to because they followed the MGM thing, the studio system. That's what Motown was. It was a studio system with records. They basically, Berry Gordy, I mean, in MGM, they had charm schools, they had etiquette classes, they had to go out on the road, they had to go out in public, and it worked. And you know, Motown's one of the greatest success stories in the entertainment business's history.
Berry Gordy was
Detroit.
A genius.
Oh, yeah.
Man, oh, man.
And then they had Holland and Dozier, great, great writers, Ashford and Simpson, just great people. So check it out.
That Berry discovered Diana Ross and then the Jackson 5.
The Jackson 5. I mean, yeah, he discovered them. He discovered Stevie Wonder at 12 years old. He discovered Marvin Gaye. He discovered them all. These
man.
Are great. These are legends. They're not just good acts. Smokey Robinson. Come on, Smokey Robinson, from what I got from this special, him and Berry Gordy appeared frequently together. It's like a father-son thing,
mm-hmm.
but Smokey Robinson was the second driving force behind Motown.
Yeah, I've heard that before. And
great stuff.
You talk about a guy who had excellent singing pipes. Smokey Robinson was it, man. That guy could hit so many different notes. He was another incredible talent, man.
Yep, no doubt about it. And you know what? As far as anything else is going, you know what? TV right now, there's a lot of good stuff, and but it's all about football right now. All about football and the pennant races, too.
Mike, do you recall back in the day, September would roll along, and I would wait for my issue of TV Guide magazine to see what all the new shows are going to be on ABC, NBC, and CBS.
That was it.
All you young bloods out there listening, that was it. That's all we had
to live with. Well, you'd get the TV Guide, but in the Tribune, you'd have a TV Guide.
Uh-huh.
Every single Sunday Tribune had one. With a guy, with somebody, a popular person on, whether it be Dick Van Dyke, Carl Reiner, you know, somebody like that,
yeah, right.
Sally Field, they'd always have the cover. So that's when he had five stations, man.
That was awesome. All right, Mike,
all
let's
right,
play
baby.
That closing theme music and tell people that if you have not listened to the show live, you can get it on podcasts. You go to iTunes, you go to Podbean, you go to Google Plus, you go to any of those places that releases podcasts, and you just type in Bears Ballroom Radio Network, and you will find a Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North on there. And let your friends know. Give us a review on iTunes and share it on social media. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. In fact, Harp 4803, leave the house right now. Go over and tell your family and friends about this
He's
great
good.
Show.
He's a good guy.
He's a great supporter of ours.
Vegas Scores and Odds is the place to go for your winning football picks. We got NBA coming up soon. We got, which isn't good for us. We got to put up with the Bulls again. We still have baseball up. We got the pennant. So check out Vegas Scores and Odds. We got the pennant coming up too. The pennant races and everything else. So long, everybody.